Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast on this rainy Monday evening. I'm so glad to be with you. I hope that you've had a nice day, even though it has, in fact, been, well, rather wet. In fact, I'm getting wet out here talking to you right now. You might think, well, Tim, you're always all wet. But you know what I mean. There's these little drops, and it's not a big rain. It's one of those misty, messy rains. But even though it's just a misty rain, it has a huge impact. Have you ever thought about that when you walk outside? You go through the rain, and even if it's this misty rain, you come in and you're just so damp, and you think, I need dry clothes. I'm all wet. And yet most of the air around you, if I drew a box here and could measure it, I would see the majority of what's here right next to me, even though I'm feeling that dampness and my clothes are getting more damp as we go here, even so, the majority of what's in that box is air, right? I'm not suffocating, and neither are you when you go outside in the rain. There's a ton of air out there, even though there's those drops. What does that tell us? It tells us about the impact of small things. There was a meteorologist years ago by the name of Lorenz who was looking into how to create forecasting models. He wanted to be able to predict when it was going to be a misty rain, when it was going to be a big storm, etc., etc. And so he was looking at the different models he could create to predict the weather. And at the time, it was years and years ago, he was rounding the different numbers of the different weather data he was putting into his model so it'd be easier to work with. But he was rounding it at a point where it didn't seem like it was going to be a big deal. It wasn't going to make a huge impact on the model, or so he thought. But what did he find? As he rounded out numbers so that the numbers were still, in theory, quite accurate, he was actually getting dramatically different outcomes. This became what he called the seagull effect, that maybe there'd be a seagull someplace flapping his wings, and the disturbance in the atmosphere from that seagull might cause a rainstorm at some point down the road. Now you might say, I've never heard of a seagull effect, but I have heard of something similar. Well, his friend said that wasn't really a catchy poetic title for this model he was describing. And so he renamed it the butterfly effect, and that's what we know today, that there's this theory that maybe a butterfly could flap her wings and sometime down the road there'd be a tornado someplace. The idea being, little disturbances or little causes can build on other causes and build on other causes until there's a big impact. Well, we hear that and we think, well, that makes sense, I suppose, but does it really happen when we're talking about human beings interacting with each other? Well, it actually does. And that's what Scripture is saying to us as we come tonight to the next part of Proverbs 25, verses 23 and 24, which is going to challenge us to think about all those times in our own actions we round off numbers that we don't think are really that big a deal. We round off our actions and think, it won't really matter. But in fact, it does. We started thinking about that, in fact, last night as we looked at Isaac in our brand new sermon series on Sunday nights. But we're going to be challenged tonight not to think in terms of grand, promising plans in our lives, but just simply, how are we impacting other people? Because the answer is, we're impacting them more than we think, and often with the things we don't even bother with, the things that we reduce to rounding errors. So let's pray that God would help us to see those rounding errors in our own calculations and understand better what it is that he's calling us to be and to do. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for the goodness of your word. And as we come to it tonight, would you help us as we come before the God of the entire universe? You are big beyond imagination, and your love for us is beyond all description, that you also care about the itty-bitty things in our lives. Would you help us to see those places where we miss the details that you want us to care about, so that we can care about those and care about others through those, so they can see the big things and the biggest thing of all, the love of our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a look at Proverbs 25, starting with verse 23. We read, "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks." You might say, how does this fit with everything you've just been talking about to prepare to look at that verse, Tim? It seems like you told this interesting story. You're getting all wet today in the rain, so I guess you were thinking about rain, but what's the relationship here other than that rain factors into both? Well, there's quite a bit more, and it comes down to that statement that Solomon makes, that a northerly wind brings rain. You might say, well, that sounds straightforward enough, Tim. It does, except for one little detail. In Israel, a northerly wind doesn't bring rain. That's not where rain comes from in that area. And so the people hearing this would have known that, and they would have been aware that what Solomon was saying, well, it doesn't sound like it makes sense. Now, there are different possibilities that people have theorized over the years on why Solomon would say this if it's not the way it actually works. One is that maybe this was a long time phrase that people had passed down from generation to generation, going back to the time the Israelites were in Egypt. That would make sense because in Egypt, a northerly wind does bring rain, just not in Israel. So that's possible, but there's something I think that's even more helpful that I believe is in this statement. Maybe that's true, maybe that's where Solomon initially heard it, but in this particular statement here, as he's moving on to a backbiting tongue, or a secret tongue, we could translate it, I think what Solomon's doing is a wordplay, because the two words for hidden and for north are very similar in appearance, and so he's playing a bit of a word game here, it appears. And what he's saying is that a hidden wind can have an impact on the weather, something that we can't see, something that is being lost in the rounding error of our calculations, can have a huge impact, the sort of impact that does a lot more than we think. We think about today, we're not just paying attention to how the breeze is blowing. They have these incredibly advanced models to predict the weather, and yet you look at the 10-day forecast and how often is it wrong? 10 days ago, it wasn't supposed to be raining today, but here it is. We're on this rainy day, and I'm here getting drenched in the rain slowly talking to you. But not because it's pouring down again, it's that little bitty impact. So different calculations, itty bitty little things that weren't being calculated, well, they've come to lead to this little bitty rain, just these little drops, that then over time start to have a big impact where I feel wet. How's that work? How's that work for us? Well, I think what Solomon is thinking when he talks about that hidden thing empowering the weather and then the hiddenness of speaking about someone behind their back, what he's really talking about is that our consequences, or our actions rather, often have consequences that are not foreseen initially. We think, I just need to blow off steam. So we say something about someone, something we wouldn't say to them directly. We want to have a fine relationship with that person. But we'll say it behind their back, his back, her back, because we just want to say it, and it doesn't sound like it's going to cause any trouble. It's a rounding error. The problem is, though, is we're not thinking about, well, what kind of impact will that have? And of course, the most direct one is, well, what happens if somehow what we said gets relayed to the person? And that, of course, it should be something we should think about. Would we be willing for that thing to be said to the person, to his face or her face? But more than that, what other little impacts might we be causing? Are we causing someone to think less kindly of another person in a way that really isn't helpful, isn't really useful? We're not warning them of anything useful. We're just expressing frustration. But the next thing we know, that person's feeling the dampness, and that then leads them to treat that other person differently or to say something to someone else who treats that person differently. It's like this pendulum that you see on screen right now. If you notice, the same finger presses it in those six different frames that you see on screen. You see those different times. These are all different occasions that the same pendulum is being started. The person's very careful, starts it seemingly the same way, and what do you know? It's moving in the same way. But let's fast forward a little bit. We'll jump about 3 minutes into this video, and what do you see? Now that same pendulum, that one that was moving exactly the same, well, it's moving in completely different ways in each of the frames. even though the person took care to try to push it the same amount with the same amount of force and to use the exact same pendulum to record it for the exact same amount of time, the result ends up different because that human touch didn't come out quite the same. We aren't that precise with our fingers. There's a rounding error, so to speak. We're not that precise with our words either. We have a hard time distinguishing between those times we're just saying something completely innocent and unimpactful in those times that it could have that big impact where 3 minutes down the road or 3 years down the road, 30 years down the road, that little thing, well, maybe the pendulum is still moving and it shouldn't be. Maybe the pendulum has stopped moving and it needed to be. Are we thinking about that? This proverb is really calling us to think about the impact that our words have, and particularly our negative words. Are we doing things without really much thought at if it's going to hurt somebody else long term? Because too often the reason we don't give it thought is we think, well, it's not going to matter anyway. And just like we saw last night, how God worked powerfully through Isaac, even though Isaac's often just in the middle of what's happening to everybody else. Well, if that's true, and we know it is, and we think about that in those big, grand, wonderful things, well, it's also true on the little things. Because often those little things building up and building up and building up, the little drops that soak us with rain, that start to have an impact. How many little things do that? I bet there's another one that you're looking at on screen right now. You're probably resisting, or maybe you haven't even resisted. I'm not looking at the chat as I'm sharing right now, but maybe in the chat already you've written, hey, Tim, you might want to notice you failed to button one of your buttons. And if you didn't say that, I bet some of you were wanting to say it and thinking, do I say it? Don't I say it? Because there's that impact. You see me put my arms out and suddenly the shirt is being impacted by that button. Well, it's not that I forgot, the button came off. But you think about it. If I weighed this shirt and measured how much it weighs, if I didn't use a particularly precise scale, I couldn't even tell the difference with the button on and with it off. But I can certainly tell that it doesn't feel quite right. It doesn't look quite right. Think about those ways that we have impact that are that small. We don't even weigh our words because we don't think they're going to do that much. And Solomon's saying, those secret things you say that you don't think are going to have any impact on somebody, think about whether that impact might actually come. Think about what we're doing. If we understand we're part of a huge story that's going to be built on for millennia, well, those little things we do in fact add up, just like these raindrops do. And God's challenging us to think about that. Now, we may say, okay, so I have more impact than I realize, but does it really matter? Well, we know that it does when we're on the receiving end of the negative impact. Take a look at verse 24. Solomon goes on to say, it is better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Now, we are jumping through the Proverbs, and sometimes the Proverbs are simply not related to each other. They're just single pithy things. But I believe these two are chained together, and they're chained together to get a particular point across about our actions. When we read quarrelsome wife here, now it could be just a woman. He's just using an example. He's not speaking necessarily of a wife, and many have simplified it even further. That strife is bad enough that it pushes us to want to escape it. And I think that's a great summary of this. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, or if you're married to that person or not. We try to get away from strife. We don't like being in strife, just like we don't like getting wet. And so what do? Well, we seek a place to escape. And sometimes, probably all of us have gotten ourselves to a place where it was less convenient to go a different route to across a building, or we avoid a neighbor or whatever, simply because we want to avoid strife, even though it seems like it's not worth all the hassle. We just don't like it. And that's because those tiny things add up and they have an impact. And I really think then what Solomon's saying here is we know that we don't like it. And so going back to the last verse, don't forget what we're doing because people don't like strife. What do we do in response then? We should be people who bring peace. We should hand someone an umbrella when it's raining. And we should measure our words knowing that even those little words, those ones that we don't think are going to do any harm, they're just going to make us feel better. Or maybe we just don't even think about what they're going to do at all. they could have that big impact. Do you remember this ship? We actually talked about it on Steadfast 3 years ago, and everyone was talking about it at the time. It was the Ever Given. It was a ship that got itself wedged in the Suez Canal. Now, what you may not know, because no one's been talking about it for the last 3 years, is that that ship is now back in service. It's hauling cargo again. And it's a huge ship, but in the grand scheme of the ocean, it's a tiny little drop. That's why we don't know about it, right? When it pulled back out of dock after being repaired, you didn't suddenly feel the water pressure around the world change and say, oh, they must have put the Ever Given back in service. We didn't know because compared to the ocean, it's tiny. Now, if you put the Ever Given in your bathtub, you would know. In fact, you wouldn't have a house any longer. It would have crushed it. But you would know very clearly. Nonetheless, think about, even though it was that small that you and I don't even know that it's back in service, it's so impactful in the right spot that when it was in the canal and it made that unfortunate misnavigation, what did it do? It stopped shipping all across the world. And we did feel that very clearly as things that were needed for different sorts of supplies, they weren't available anymore. And that impact was felt. As Solomon talks about going and living on a corner of a rooftop rather than with a quarrelsome wife, or it's better to go avoid strife, again, we might paraphrase, as opposed to being around strife. That's the heart of what's being said here. What he's saying is that we know that even if it doesn't seem that consequential, and maybe the person causing strife thinks, I'm not doing that much. We know what it's like when we feel like we're that canal and all the ships are backing up. So we seek to avoid strife for ourselves. We don't want it. But then that goes back to the other verse. May we remember that just like we don't want it, we don't want to bring that to other people. Now, what does that look like for us as Christians? Well, for one, if Christians are the ones causing strife, and all too often in our world, the world loves to point out when Christians cause strife. People look and say, oh, there's the Christians. They're causing trouble again. What's that saying? They're not hearing about the Prince of Peace. They're seemingly seeing people of discord. We're being encouraged. We certainly don't want to be the people that when people find out, oh, there's the Christians, they think, uh-oh, what trouble. What we want to do is have people hear about us and think, oh, there's the people that love one another and love other people and make a positive difference. That even when we're little drops, we want to be little drops of refreshing, cool water on a hot day. We don't want to be the drizzly rain on a cool day that makes us miserable. We don't want to be a ship that misnavigates and blocks up the canal. We want to be the little tugboats to help get the ship unstuck. You think about if you are a little tugboat, you're even smaller, and yet think about the impact. And that's what God's calling us to, and it can be all kinds of things. For our always online members of our church family, think about the impact you have simply when someone new comes on to the chat and you say something kind or you interact with that person enough to allow that person to feel like he or she actually matters. Think about the impact. Or someone new comes through the doors in person and everyone says hi and does maybe a little bit more than simply doing what's absolutely socially required. And we actually greet one another. That's why I love our church. We have a very friendly church. I love that it's a genuine friendliness, because you never know how that impact can make a difference where someone decides, oh, I'd like to be a part of the church. We saw that last night as we had baptisms and new members, and we saw how little things that have happened over the last few years brought new church family members to us. And then through one of those members, we even had our first two baptisms at the church. What an incredible thing. But it started with small little contacts. It started with just people seeking to show Christ's love. And that's something we can do, of course, at church, but we should do every single day, because we aren't just a refreshing drop of water at church or on the chat for church. We can be a refreshing drop of water at home. We can be a refreshing drop of water at the office, at school, in the neighborhood, at the grocery store. Wherever you happen to be, we can be that right now, today. If you get off of the live stream tonight and go onto social media, are you thinking about what you're posting? Is it going to be a refreshing, cool drop of water, or a chilly, make everyone damp when they need to warm up kind of drop of water? What kind of impact are we leaving? Because God cares about the little details, and God wants us to be an impactful people, and not impactful in, wow, we flapped our wings and we caused a tornado that wrecked everything, but in the way that we are an impactful people that flap our wings and bring refreshment, bring renewal, bring life, because we point people to Jesus. Maybe that is something that you're going to do tonight that's going to impact someone else 10 years from now. We don't know. But may we do everything remembering that God's watching and calling us and strengthening us to do the things that are pleasing to Him and the things that are going to help other people around us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this day. And as we take in this rain that's raining down at the moment, would you help us to remember that we can have an impact, just like every single one of these little drops of water has an impact. Would you help us to have the right kind of impact, that we wouldn't be those little drops that cause big destructive forces, but rather we would be those little drops that refresh, those little drops that hydrate people, those little drops that point people to the water of life. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hope you have a wonderful week. I'm going to get out of the rain, but before I do, let me just mention, please help make the impact of this message greater by sharing this and following us on social media. You know what I always say, but truly it does make a difference, and you can do that tonight. If you have any comments, questions, you'll see the information on screen to send a text for a prayer request, or leave a comment in the comments below and we can interact. It's always great to get to pray for you. That is never a small impact when we come together before our Lord. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. Stay dry, and I'll see you again very soon.